live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for March 27th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful, restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, and welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, Friday. And man, have we got a lot to cover for you. We had our guest on yesterday, Mr. Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com. We always have a fantastic time when Brian's on the radio. We talked about Honest Money Report. You know, they have a certain number for gold and silver called spot. $14.70 for silver, but you can't even get a silver eagle silver dollar for under 20 bucks. It's 20 something dollars now. So the paper numbers and the real numbers, there's a huge spread. There's also a massive inequity between gold and silver. Normally 15 to 20 to 1. You know, 20 silver ounce rounds equals one gold ounce, right? Well, now it's 120 almost. So it's way out of control, folks. Dr. Fauci now admitting or saying, hey, the coronavirus will now be a seasonal thing. I could have told you that. It's just like the flu or anything else, isn't it? Fed will provide nearly unlimited funding, Chairman Powell says. Unlimited funding? Can't that cause problems, Powell? Can't that, you know, isn't that? Wow. Fed will provide nearly unlimited lending. How does America pay for a $2 trillion coronavirus relief bill? One Congress critter says just print a couple of coins or, you know, mint a couple of coins and just pay it off. Wow, can we really do that? Why haven't we done that a long time ago, if it's that simple, huh? But it is true that if it's dishonest money, and it was created on a fraud, we could buy fraud, get rid of it. That's a valid point there now. Jobless claims soar to 3.3 million. What do you think of that? Wow, it's massive, isn't it? Bringing pharmaceutical production back, they say, creates 800,000 jobs. That's good news. White House considers tariff delay for 90 days. Let's not delay the tariffs. Let's shut down the IRS and keep the tariffs. Let's support constitutional taxation and reject unconstitutional taxation, shall we? Armed assailants snatched two truckloads of gold and silver bars in Sonora, Mexico. I guess they had armored cars intercepted by a convoy of a bunch of trucks, and the thugs just took the money. Should Congress move immediately to remote voting? In my opinion, the answer is yes. Domino's, good news, hiring 10,000 people. Doctor said, I treated 350 coronavirus patients, 100% success. White House has my successful treatment, the doctor says. Coronavirus patient says, I was on the brink of death and the malaria drug saved my life. So you know what? We don't have studies that it works, but we do have, you know, some real experiences in the field. Selfless acts, folks. We talked about how Americans are helping each other through the coronavirus big time. It's cool. The Hill even writes that piece. Lionel Richie says it's time for a We Are the World remake to help bring people together and to raise funds to stop the spread of COVID-19. We also need to look on the bright side. Coronavirus is bringing people together, communities and couples and families closer together. I think that's great news. We talked about Mike Pence praises private sector for pitching in. McDonald's opens curbside service for truckers so the truckers can not get or spread the coronavirus and be on their way to deliver goods and services across the country, doing their very best to keep the economy humming. You got to dig that, huh? Meghan McCain announces her pregnancy after suffering horrendous miscarriages. So, you know, prayers are that they're successful there. Good news. U.S. coronavirus fuels demand for traditional herbal remedies. See, I think this is a really critical thing. I think a lot of these herbs could make a huge difference. Just ask China. 7 earthquakes rattle Oklahoma in 24 hours. They also had some earthquakes rattling Texas, too. Major magnitude 7.5 earthquake hits off of Russia's, how do you say that, Kuril Islands? We also talked about an NPR station stop airing the coronavirus briefing. They say that Donald Trump and Kuril peddling false information. Wow, don't worry, though. We're spending $75 million to keep up National Public Radio. We ought to shut that spending down yesterday. But no one, except for Sam Bushman, it seems, is interested in reducing spending. Sad tale to tell, but it's true. That's a recap of yesterday's show. News the Networks Refuse to Use starts now. Kirk Crosby with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir. Quick question for you while I get the good sheriff on the line.
Yeah.
Coronavirus will be a seasonal virus now going forward. Do you want to respond to that? And welcome everyone, and I'll get Richard.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam. Yeah, well, I'm talking about a seasonal flu or a seasonal virus. You know, at least when I look at it, it just means that... you know, you count on these things happen more and more as we get closer and closer to the time of the Savior. You know, these pestilences, these or the Savior's return, these pestilences, these scourges, plagues, whatever you want to call them. But the nice thing about them, at least in my opinion, is that they... help us focus on the most important things, you know, help us realize how nice it is when we don't have to deal with these kind of things. It's kind of like when you have a really nice batch of weather and you kind of forget how rough it is occasionally when you got a blizzard or something like that to deal with. And so, you know, there's some positive points to it.
And it's really hard to see one from the other, isn't it, Kurt?
Well, sure.
Well, comparing your weather example, you know, it's really hard when you're in a beautiful, nice, sunny day. The breeze is just gently blowing, and it just feels so nice. You can't imagine that gnarly storm. I mean, it's just like, how can that even be? When you're in the middle of a gnarly storm or a crazy storm or whatever, you're just like, how could it ever be calm again? And I think that's a great comparison, Kurt, to what we're kind of experiencing. I think a lot of people are in the middle of the storm right now going, will it ever be sunny? Will it ever be nice? Will it ever be good? Will it ever be again? And I understand that, you know, hard to understand or hard to feel that it can get good again feeling. And I think that's a tough feeling for people to experience. But I do think that's a great comparison and a great reality. The good Sheriff Richard Mack will be with us both hours as well. Welcome back. What do you think of Kurt's comparison? I think it's a good one, Sheriff.
Oh, yeah. It is, and I think it's reasonable for anybody to consider that.
There's a lot going on that I want to highlight, and I want to start with the question, you know, how long will the coronavirus take to run its course? And with Anthony Fauci just now kind of coming out and saying, hey, I think this is a seasonal thing, that this isn't going to go away. Not only is it seasonal, but it will continue, like the flu, to continue mutating and changing. And so I don't know that vaccines are going to basically be the answer. Like, the flu doesn't oftentimes even get the vaccines. They say the flu vaccine is like 50% or less effective depending on the year. So, I mean, it's almost like flipping a coin. And I look at something like that and I say, you know, to some degree, we may never get ahead of it. Now, the coronavirus might calm down as it warms up. Summer does pretty well. It's usually the flu time where it's colder, where the virus spreads, where people are forced indoors. As Kurt wisely points out, a lot of people are just eating a bunch of sugar in the winter and stuff like that. Indoors, bad air, eating sugar, not enough sleep. Time zone changes are all right around the winter time. Just kick it off, they change the time, and to end it, they change the time, and that affects people negatively. And I bring that up because we might get a reprieve from this thing come summer a little bit, but then they say it'll come back fall time with a vengeance. And that's a serious, serious thing indeed. So the question is, how long will the coronavirus take to run its course? And I don't know that we know the answer. But there's a lot of people that are, in my opinion, focusing on a better question than how long will it last? Because I think this well, whether it lasts long or whether it's seasonal, or we don't know. Whether it'll be this or other plagues in the future, we don't know. But we know they are sure to come if we as a country continue to turn our back on God, right? We know that's, you know, a reality. And I bring that up
well,
because...
Well, you know, at least one... Sorry to interrupt you, Sam, but one more thing to throw in here. I mean, what's the main hot spot in America? Isn't it New York, New York City, I guess they tell us? And yet, don't you remember just a little while back, you know, the guys in New York were all debating, you know, hey, on this whole baby thing. When a baby's born, if it does survive the abortion, you know, the attempt to kill it in the womb, or you know, whatever, then of course you've got to pretty much continue that, you know, or kill it afterwards. And I'm just thinking, hey, the God of heaven says thou shalt not kill, and the people in New York are surprised there's a, you know, some kind of punishment for that kind of thing. I mean,
yeah, Roy Moore says don't give in to fear, Kurt. Finish on that, and then I've got a few others saying that, including me.
Well, yeah, Judge Roy Moore, you know, leading the way, yes, he's done so many times, you know, and suggesting that, don't give way to fear, just as you said.
All right, we got a bunch of positive news stories, ladies and gentlemen. The good Sheriff Kurt Crosby and yours truly on your radio. We got a lot of positive news straight ahead, so hang tight, all right?
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. Then you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
All right, so as I was saying before the pause, ladies and gentlemen, that you know what? Kurt's comparison of living in a storm is a very good one. Or living in a sunny day. It's all about kind of the weather. You know, when you're a sunny day, it's almost impossible to realize there could be a storm. And, it's hard to even fathom it, right? In the middle of a storm, it's very difficult to even fathom a nice, sunny, beautiful day. And we don't want to get stuck in that. Right now, we're in the middle of the storm when it comes to the coronavirus and the economy and jobs and sickness and social distancing, to where people can get really discouraged really fast. And it's a sad tale to tell, and it's hard to imagine a sunny day coming again. But I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, one will come again. And Roy Moore basically says, you know what? Don't spiral down in fear. Have faith. Roy Moore's correct. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, president or prophet, seer and revelator, as members of the church call him, his name is Russell M. Nelson. And he released a video with some very wise counsel in my opinion. And I wanted to play this. If the Pope releases a similar video or whatever else, or if any other big, you know, well-known religious leader releases comments like this, please let us know. We'd love to play them too. But we are most familiar with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints because I am a member, Kurt's a member, the good Sheriff Richard Mack's a member. But we wanted to play this because I think this is wise words of wisdom and an invitation, if you will, that he's offering us right now. And the invitation is not just to people who are members of the church. It's to everyone around the world. Listen to this, and I think this provides, in my mind, perspective and Kurt's great question about the weather. Or point about the weather. You know, how do you feel when it's a sunny day that it's ever going to be stormy? I just can't fathom it. It's so beautiful and nice. Opposite's true in the middle of the storm. Will it ever be sunny again? How long will this thing last, right? All right, here's President Russell M. Nelson, prophet, seer, and revelator, president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, with some counsel and an invitation to the entire world, member and non-member alike.
As a physician and surgeon, I have great admiration for medical professionals, scientists, and all who are working around the clock to curb the spread of COVID-19. I am also a man of faith, and I know that during these challenging times, we can be strengthened and lifted as we call upon God and His Son, Jesus Christ, the Master Healer. I invite you to join with me in a worldwide fast, for all whose health permits, to pray for relief from the physical, emotional, and economic effects of this global pandemic. I invite members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints everywhere, along with our many friends, to fast and pray this Sunday, March 29th. Let us unite our faith to plead for physical, spiritual, and other healing throughout the entire world. The Lord understands the feelings you are experiencing. He loves and cares for you, as I do, too.
There you have it. How old is he? 94? Kurt?
I think he's 95.
95, so, okay.
But, you know, he's still...
I can barely keep track of my own birthday. You know, Kurt celebrates birthday every day, so it's really hard for me to keep track of birthdays when I don't know my own, and then Kurt celebrates birthdays every single day. It's really hard to know when people's birthdays are. Nevertheless, 95 years old, this guy. And in my opinion, I don't know that you could provide a better message to the world right now than that, basically saying, hey, you know what? This is a difficult time, and we really want to support and thank and show appreciation to all those who are fighting this thing so hard around the world. And we want to basically say we are people of faith, not fear. And we can turn to the Almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ, in prayer. And we can fast and pray this Sunday that, you know what, the God of heaven can smile upon us and protect us from this plague and this horrible event. I don't know of a better message to deliver. Kurt, do you want to comment on it? And then we'll get to the sheriff.
Well, and looks like, Sam, I was looking it up, to see, because this, if ladies and gentlemen, if you're not familiar with it, this is not something brand new for America and even the world to call on days of fasting and prayer. I was thinking of the times in the Founding Fathers' times when they did that. But I entered it in Google, of course, the source of all knowledge, and came up with churchleaders.com. The headline reads, Save the Date, Global Day of Prayer and Fasting, March 29th, by Stephanie Martin. So this was published a couple of days ago, and they say a group representing 600 million evangelicals encourages Christians worldwide to pray and fast on Sunday, March 29th. Due to the current pandemic, the World Evangelical Alliance developed the Global Day of Prayer and Fasting Initiative based on Psalm 107 and the theme, Lord Help. It looks like it's kind of a good thing for the, well, I'd recommend it anytime for the whole world, but maybe everybody's teaming up on this Global Day of Fasting and Prayer.
So. Well, and I hope so, and that's a great article to add to the point we're making here. Forward that over. We'll add that to the show notes. Sheriff, do you want to respond to Russell M. Nelson's message? Hold on, let me put you up. Sorry, go ahead.
I thought it showed a lot of insight, some real sensitivity to what's going on. I thought it showed a lot of leadership, and I'm going to do it. I really think the world needs to come together, and I hope that his message reaches all the other religions, and I really don't care which ones they are. When he talked about friends, I hope that all the Pope and the other Christian leaders in America and throughout the world, and other churches that are not Christian, whatever faith they are, I hope they all come together for this unification and this united effort to ask God to relieve the suffering of the world and what we're going through. And when President Nelson said economic, I really think that could be the most destructive part of this entire thing. Of course, besides the destruction to our Constitution and our personal liberties.
It certainly can be if we're not very careful. And that's what President Trump is mentioning. And I want to highlight this about President Trump. Several weeks ago, President Trump called for a day of prayer. And we highlighted that at the time and really praised the president for that, justly so. And now we're coming back and religious leaders are calling for another day of fasting and prayer. And I hope not only do the world's religious leaders join together, as Kurt's headline highlights, but I pray that, you know what, government leaders can come together in a little bit of sackcloth and ashes and a little bit of a humility and prayer. And you know what? I know Donald's willing to do that, and I commend him for that. I mean, in my lifetime, I haven't had a president that would talk about prayer and talk about God and talk about, you know, pray with religious leaders and set an example like President Trump has. Not even Ronald Reagan. He didn't even come close. Me and Kurt and several others went to the Republican presidential inauguration for Donald J. Trump, there was a prayer. What do you call it, Kurt? A vigil? I don't know what to call it, but a prayer fest? It was awesome.
I mean, the bottom line is there was a lot of praying going on.
I know. What do you call it, though? What's that called?
You know, I remember there was one news source out of Tennessee, I think it was, that had tracked a number of prayers, I guess, and said that this was all-time record number of prayers in any inauguration, you know? I mean, that basically they had that news story, and so, you know, praying stuff is, I don't believe the president just does that just to get votes. In fact, this church leader story I was telling you about, it mentions the president calling for that on March 15th. It even mentions that down in Louisiana, the governor down there has recently, on the 24th of March, asked for prayer and fasting because of their deal, and that's the governor, John Bell Edwards. He's a Catholic down there.
Well, good for him.
And, you know, he's asked for that. So, you know, it's looks like it's a prayer plague going around, huh, Sam?
Plague? What are you talking about?
Well, I know. That's what some folks would call it, though. You know what I mean?
I know, and I want to avoid and ignore those people.
I know. I agree.
But I'm telling you, this is a phenomenal opportunity, and so I'd like to really recommend that religious leaders join together, political leaders join together, people set the example in your communities, and I'd really like to see the media double down in defense of this opportunity of fasting and prayer as well. I know a lot in the media mock this, but this just shows you which media you should be paying attention to, folks. If they don't mention this and or if they mock it, you should turn off that media. Let me say that again. If they will not talk about this and, you know, tell you it's happening, number one. Okay, it's certainly a big news story when the leader of a 16 million member worldwide church leads with a fasting and prayer personal message via YouTube to the whole world. And then when other leaders are doing the same, it's news, folks, especially in this time of turmoil and trial. Anyway, if the media doesn't at least highlight this and talk about it and tell you it's happening, and or outright endorse it, or if they mock it or won't endorse it, turn to new media, ladies and gentlemen. Would you please? I got a lot more good news coming up. Hang tight, folks.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says Americans could start getting relief checks from the government within 3 weeks in the face of the coronavirus crisis. That assumes the Senate-passed stimulus bill now clears the House today and is signed by President Trump. Mnuchin says
the American workers and American public and American business, they need the money now. So this is not the time to debate a bill that passed with every single vote.
In the interview with CNBC, Mnuchin brushed off some concerns about a record number of weekly jobless claims last week, nearly 3.3 million. Southwest Airlines now cutting 1,500 daily flights as the virus slashes demand for air travel. China banning most foreigners from entering the country now to combat the virus. And this is USA Radio News.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
Well, the energy is good. You know, you hear the commercials and it sounds, you know, pretty hokey to be perfectly honest, but I used to get tired at early afternoon and now I don't get tired till evening, and I don't get sleepy as early as I used to, and I definitely have more energy. I have fewer aches and pains. I haven't had any colds. It seems to be working, so I'll keep going with it.
Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order of fruits and veggies. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
The Department of Agriculture says it's trying to make it easier to feed children during this pandemic. As Secretary Sonny Perdue said yesterday, there will be changes removing administrative roadblocks for those who serve meals. The changes allow parents or guardians to take meals home to their kids and also applies to seniors and people with disabilities. Walgreens has begun drive-through shopping during the virus outbreak. The drugstore chain says shoppers can now pull up to the drive-through window and ask for a menu of available items, not just prescriptions. Legendary Harlem Globetrotter Fred Curley Neal has passed away. For over 20 years, the basketball legend displayed some pretty slick dribbling skills while sporting his signature shaved head and bright smile. He became the face of the team as he played in over 6,000 games across 97 countries. Curley Neal was 77. This is USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right. So President Nelson, again, this man that we talked about, who's prophet, seer, and revelator of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, he's known as president of the church. His name is Russell M. Nelson. Not only did he give that incredible fasting and prayer appeal to the world, and not only are we encouraging world leaders to join that and get involved in that, and political leaders and everybody, really. Not only are we encouraging for you to turn off media that won't highlight this and or outright endorse it like we will. We're endorsing this, folks. We're going to participate, and we're going to encourage everyone to do. But if the media won't talk about this and or won't endorse or they mock it, turn off that media, would you please? I don't mean to be offensive. I'm just saying we need leaders who will lead, humble people who will turn to the right sources for solutions. I believe this power of prayer and fasting is more powerful than you can imagine. The Bible says if we do this and we repent and he will heal our land and protect us. And man, that dovetails so well with his message. But President Nelson continued in a second video that I want to play for you. And he tells about an experience that he had on an airplane. And the airplane caught on fire. And he tells about the difference between faith and fear and where to turn for answers. And I bring this up because I really believe this is the key here for all of us around the world to how to respond to this internally, emotionally, personally. Listen to this and then we'll talk about it.
I was in a small airplane. And all of a sudden, the engine on the wing caught fire. It exploded. And burning oil was poured all over the right side of the airplane, and we started to dive toward the earth. we were spinning down to our death. Oh, this woman across the aisle, I just was so sorry for her. She was just absolutely uncontrollably hysterical. And I was calm. I was totally calm. Even though I knew I was going down to my death, I was ready to meet my maker. We didn't crash. We didn't die. The spiral dive extinguished the flame. The pilot got control and started the other engine up. And we made an emergency landing out in the field. But I thought through that experience, if you've got a faith, you can handle difficulties, knowing that with an eternal perspective that all will be well. In Luke 21, the earth shall be in distress, nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. What we're seeing is a prediction that in these latter days, people will be afraid. Men's hearts are failing, and that includes women, because they forget their identity and their purpose. The heartaches will come. I've lived through the death of a wife and the death of a daughter. I've seen the troubles that divorce brings. Children or grandchildren go astray. Disability, illness, injuries. To the individual who is weak in the heart, fearful in the heart, be patient with yourself. Perfection comes not in this life, but in the next life. Don't demand things that are unreasonable, but demand of yourself improvement. As you let the Lord help you through that, He will make the difference.
He will make the difference, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm so grateful for the gospel of Jesus Christ that allows me that kind of strength.
There you have it. The gospel of Jesus Christ that allows me that kind of strength. I believe this is a real personal appeal to faith to the world that is really valuable and needful at this time. What do you think of that, Sheriff?
Well, as you've been discussing this and as I was listening to President Nelson, I also thought of Ben Franklin when some of the founders were discussing whether or not to have prayer for their meetings. And he said, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of man. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without its aid?" So I say the same thing. Is it probable that we can win, that we can be protected, that we can keep our family safe without the aid of God? And I really loved hearing from President Nelson, and I loved his story. That's an amazing testament right there of the faith of that man, that he remained calm when they were certainly falling to their death. And I've actually been in a very similar situation on U.S. Airways once, back when some birds ran into a plane, and the media was all waiting to talk to us after we got down because a bird knocked off part of the fuselage at 10,000 feet. And a lady next to me grabbed my arm and was really getting hysterical as we returned to the airport. And it kind of felt like we were going down at one point, and it felt like we ran over an elephant. It was really a quite the jolt. And I know a little bit about what we weren't on fire and we didn't go straight down, but I know a little bit about that. And I so admire President Nelson for his faith and for him trying to unite the world.
It's quite interesting that a lot of religious leaders are standing up boldly and with faith, and I commend them for this. Some new media folks are doing the same, or media, you know, taking center stage like us. But Roy Moore, the only politician, not counting President Trump, in the last several weeks, is one speaking out with faith and hope as well. Roy Moore saying, hey, don't give in to fear, folks. This is interesting to me that a leader like that stands up. And, you know, where's all the other politicians? They're too busy spending us into oblivion. Nevertheless, I got a bunch of great headlines to
highlight. By the way, Sam, there's a little bit more on the Judge Roy Moore thing. Just you might want to see it or hear it. He was speaking, not exactly sure, but this is from the Alabama Reporter or ALReporter.com. It says, you know, the headline about not to give in to fear. And he says, as you know, the Chinese virus, that's going to tick a bunch of people off, you know, the Chinese virus has shaken our country, created havoc in the stock market, and has left people asking the questions, what's next? Moore said on social media, he was addressing his supporters, quote, as businesses remain closed and the stock market is in free fall, a tremendous fear has gripped our nation like none other I have ever seen.
And by the way, friend, in my lifetime, I agree with him. I've never seen it like this either. Have you, Kurt?
That's no.
Have you, Sheriff?
And he's got a little longer lifetime than us.
No, so and I'm really old, too. So.
All right. I don't know how old Roy is. But.
Judge Roy Moore's just a little older than you guys, you know, even.
How old is he, Kurt?
My friend.
Hold on. How old is he, Kurt?
He's in, like, his 70s.
Okay, so you don't know. You didn't celebrate his birthday. What's up with that?
Yes, I celebrate his birthday, of course.
Oh, okay, because you celebrate birthdays every day. All right, I got it.
That's right.
I'll find out how old Roy Moore is, though.
Thank you, Sam. He says, my friend, I tell you, we must not give in to fear. Throughout our history, America has faced numerous obstacles, but has always remained strong and vigilant. We will survive this Chinese virus just as we survived yellow fever in Philadelphia in 1793, a terrible disease that took 5,000 lives before being eradicated by resilient Americans who eventually developed a vaccine. Strong Americans like Dr. Benjamin Rush, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, stayed in Philadelphia treating patients when so many others fled the city. Moore continued, although he eventually contracted the disease, he survived. We should all learn from his example of bravery and patriotism.
All right, they say Roy Moore's 73 here. Stuff.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, so that's right. He's a little older than us, and so, you know, usually when someone's 5 or 6 years older, they've got a lot more memories about experiences in life and stuff like that. So he might remember a time where it was more positive than we do, but I don't, or I'm sorry, more negative than I do, but unless you go back to...
He doesn't in his time.
Who?
And he says, Judge Roy Moore, yeah, he says, let us remember our great American doctors and healthcare professionals as they come into contact with this virus every day. May God be with them and place a hedge of protection around them and their families during this time.
Have you ever heard the phrase, that's a crock, Sheriff?
Have I heard what?
That's a crock?
No.
All right. We'll help the good sheriff. He's never heard that phrase.
I've heard it.
All right. Hold on.
What do you wish your parents would do to show you they love you?
Take me to Montana.
That I would have a huge slumber party with all the girls there.
Play with me more often. I'm so busy with the board meeting.
To spend more time together as a family.
Do more out-of-the-house activities.
This is a tough one.
My parents, they do everything they love me. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have a roof over my head.
They don't need to show it to me. I just know they love me.
Well, not yelling at me very much.
What do you wish? What do you wish?
Raise my allowance.
To not argue together.
Have my dad be home more for dinner and stuff so that it could be even closer.
Family, isn't it about time?
Buy me an ice cream and kiss me to love me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay, what's the next question?
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, come on, Sheriff. This can't be true. You've heard somebody say, that's a crock. That's a crock of crap. You heard that before, right?
Yeah, of course. The background music was kind of getting...
I know it. On the phone line, it's kind of rough. I apologize. And if we make the music so low so that people can hear on the phone lines...
I've said that frequently.
Then for some reason, then, you know, people, you know, the music doesn't sound good enough on the radio. Anyway, yeah. It's a long story. But nevertheless, I got a crock, a crap. Well, I don't know what I got going on. This isn't a crock, but it is a crock, right? And I don't know how to handle this story exactly, but here's the deal. You've heard of Crocs, the shoes, right?
Yes.
Do you wear those?
No, I hate them.
You hate them. All right. Well, anyway, do you like them, Kurt? Are you a crock?
I have worn them, but I'm not a big fan. I am a bigger fan now that I know about this story.
A lot of people are saying that they want to wear their Crocs to church now. They say they got these nicer Croc-looking things, and they got Crocs high heels for ladies and stuff like that.
Whoa.
People are wanting high-heel Crocs, and, you know, I've always kind of joked and said they're a Croc. But nevertheless, the Crocs company doing a phenomenal job in the coronavirus situation, doing their very best to participate in the solutions. And this is not a croc, ladies and gentlemen. Well, it is if you get some, but it's not if you... Anyway, Crocs are donating their shoes, 10,000 pairs a day to health workers, donating their shoes to make sure that they can participate in the solution, Sheriff.
Oh, well, that I like them then. I'm going to go buy a pair.
I just become a fan of Crocs, by the way, and it's not a croc. It's a true story, and I think it's phenomenal news.
If I can find a store where one is open that has it, I will go buy one.
All right. There you go. You can get your wife some Croc high heels, buddy.
Yeah.
Right now. Yeah.
I actually broke my wife's Croc about a week ago.
All right. Well, you can repent and buy a couple of pairs then. One for you and one for her now.
Croc pot.
All right.
You mean
Ooh.
The Croc pot.
You broke
yeah,
a Croc
that's
pot. That's a whole different deal. Now, by the way, Croc pots are one of my favorite cooking devices of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When you're a bachelor, man, Croc pots are the best. Cut up a bunch of stuff, toss that dude in the crock pot, roll to wherever you got to go, come home to deliciousness. Anyway.
Amazon's got Crocs if you need them, Sheriff Mack. I don't know that you want to support Jeff Bezos.
I've been saying that the $2 trillion bailout is a croc. And also that it shows the absolute, complete, debased corruption of Washington, D.C., Nancy Pelosi and Schumer leading the way on that, but many others as well, that they will not stop politics, not even for that, so that they can continue to promote their crazy, ridiculous, corrupt, evil spending and support of abortion. And so here it is. We can't even try to... what they think or what they try to brainwash all of us into believing that they're trying to do something kind and generous and magnanimous for our entire country and for the poor working families of America. They can't even do that without shoving their corrupt policies down our throats.
I know it. You're right as rain, and there's a lot of negativity going on. I'm trying to, you know, bring us into the positive hour, and Kurt and No. The sheriff won't let me get it done, man.
No, I'm not.
You know, Sam, always focusing on the positive. It's just tough when you have so many negative guys around you, huh, Sam?
I hear that. Especially when I'm doing my very best. You know, I even collected, Kurt sent me like 300 stories. He's starting to send me, instead of just sending me a daily briefing of like 50 stories, now he sends me part A and part B, folks. So I'm working through part A and part B, and I'm gathering out of Kurt's 100 stories I got in the last couple of days. I've literally gathered every headline that's positive and put them all together in a row so that I could try to get to them all. See what I mean? Well, anyway, as the coronavirus slams the United States, speaking of Amazon, by the way, Amazon created a relief fund to help. They're offering grants of $400 up to $5,000. To their contract and seasonal workers.
No, wait. They're offering what?
They're offering grants to some of their workers and stuff to help them.
A grant?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, a grant. Do they have to pay the grant back?
No, that's a grant, sir. You got to pay loans back, not grants.
Oh, okay. Well, that's amazing.
And so it says, no, Jeff Bezos doesn't want the bailout money.
Oh, God bless him for that.
For Amazon workers. Now, I don't know, you know, when we hear the rest of the story, it might come out differently. Sometimes they have these headlines that are very strange, and all I've got is a little bit of the story, but I'm just saying that's an interesting twist, right? All right, so I got the Roy Moore first headline from Kurt about not spiraling into fear. I got the Crocs donating 10,000 pairs of shoes a day to the health workers to try to help. Now, Kurt wants to tell you about an evil billionaire.
Well, that's kind of a positive news story as well, Sam, right?
If you hear the whole story, yes. Sir.
Yeah, good point. Let's see if I can find it down there.
One of those evil billionaires who Bernie Sanders hates just pledged millions to help hospital workers. It's delightful news, Kurt. I don't know who the billionaire is, though, but, you know, good news. Well, so Kurt searched for that. It's in the stories he sent me today or yesterday.
Is that
whatever.
The first parts or the second?
I don't know.
Parts,
I just can't keep track of all your parts. I keep track of the date and the time. I just can't handle it, man.
You're doing a pretty good job.
But I gathered all of them and put all the positive ones together for you and everything. I mean, I'm doing half the work now.
I know.
But while Kurt looks for the Bernie Sanders story, anyway, there's this billionaire that Bernie hates putting a bunch of money in to help healthcare workers. I think it's phenomenal.
Yes.
Also, a Harvard study finds that the COVID-19 death rate or mortality rate is far lower than the WHO suggests. That's the World Health Organization, if you don't know who WHO is, right? Anyway, that's good news, too, because the death rate's a lot lower than they're saying. Sheriff?
Well, I've seen lots of different reports about the misreporting of the COVID-19. And so who do you believe on any of this? And why are we continuously destroying liberty in order to find some sort of solution to this? That part doesn't make any sense because I've never seen where we've done that before, where people are attacked by the police if they're out in public or if they're standing within 6 feet of another person. And if you go to the post office, the line is marked every 6 feet, so you stay away from people. I'm all for any suggestions like that, and I'm all for people trying to educate us and persuade us and
encourage us and remind us?
And encourage us. And let me tell you, Jefferson said something right along that line. In a Republican nation whose citizens are to be led by reason and persuasion and not by force, the art of reasoning becomes of first importance. And that's all this needs to be. And if I decide not to go along with it, and I understand that my irresponsibility in not taking more precautions could get somebody else expose somebody else to the disease if I am a carrier in any way. But I promise that I will be careful, and I promise I will try. But there's a lot of things that happen in this world where we expose each other to danger. Crazy driving habits where we kill 33,000 people a year. We have never stopped building streets. We have never stopped building cars. We have never done anything to stop the car industry or the drinking industry. We've never done that. And we've never locked up people for buying alcohol. For consuming
or cigarettes, you got, you know, not only deaths from cigarettes, most of the people that are getting attacked by this and dying have underlying conditions. Many of them are smokers. Firsthand, secondhand smoke being a serious threat.
Correct.
And the number of deaths from secondhand smoke blow away the virus numbers.
You shouldn't be smoking and you shouldn't be drinking, because both of those decrease your immune system that will help you fight off the coronavirus. So why aren't we
other than that, not so bad.
Alcohol and cigarettes?
All right, who's the billionaire, Kurt?
The billionaire happens, yes, I do, by the way, and Christine Favosi writes for the Western Journal. She's got this piece, and as you said, Sam, the headline reads, "One of those evil billionaires Bernie Sanders hates just pledged millions to help hospital workers." And the story comes from the Journal Inquirer. That's the source there in Manchester, Connecticut. They reported that Ray and Barbara Dalio and Dalio Philanthropies pledged $4 million to help hospital workers pay for child care, as well as feed needy families in their home state. Largest portion of the donation will be spent on providing child care for Connecticut health care workers. The $3 million will cover daycare expenses for approximately 1,000 children for 8 weeks while their parents are at work caring for the sick. The lady, Barbara, said she was moved by the news of hospital workers whose children were suddenly home alone following school closures. "To us, they are heroes," she said. "The least we can do is make sure their children are taken care of while they're on the front lines providing medical care." That's what she told the
And give them Crocs.
The remaining million.
Okay, go ahead, Kurt.
The remaining million will be distributed to Connecticut organizations that will provide enough food for around 35,000 needy residents for 10 weeks, they say. So Bernie Sanders, you know, there's one of your evil.
Maybe Bernie ought to put in a bunch of money. He's quite rich, too. All right, Sheriff,
I'm sure he will.
Well, has there been any analysis to show that locking people down has stopped the disease?
No.
Or impeded it or decreased it?
Well, what it does is it slows it down, Sheriff, is what they say. Well, that's what they claim. Now, I don't know that that's factual, but that's what they claim. And my response is, you know what, if I'm going to get it today or in 3 weeks, I'd almost rather get it today. You want to know why? Because the sooner I get it, the sooner I'm going to get over it. And the anticipation, or the negative anticipation, or the fear, or the concern, you know, hey, all that does is just create disaster for me. And you know what? I might not have a job if you keep this up and I get it in 3 months. All right, I might lose my job and then get corona in 3 months. It's disaster. But look, in the United States right now, there is about 90,000 people that have got it, that are confirmed cases.
Right.
There's 1,283 deaths so far. Okay, now, those 1,283 deaths, by the way, are really, most of the time, it's underlying conditions. And this adds to it. And I'm not saying their lives don't matter. I'm just saying it's not the same as the population. Now, believe it or not, in New York, out of those 85 or almost 90,000 people, 40,000 of them are New York alone. And they have 461 deaths. I mean, they're well over a third just in New York alone. When you add New Jersey, 6,800 more. California, 4,040. I put this together to say you could basically lock down in those serious areas and leave a lot more freedom where it's not so bad. In Utah, for comparison,
right?
396 cases, one death. Okay? So I'm just telling you, it's amazing. It's not the same across the country. You got to ask why. There's solutions there, folks.